You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Arkansas is headed to the Super Regional. They're going to host either Tennessee or Wake Forest later this week. Bubba Carpenter's in studio with me. We'll break down the Razorbacks' regional win over Creighton. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Strikeouts and no walks. I was thinking to myself, I've never seen this. I wonder if it's happened. Well, I did the research this morning, Bubba. In Razorback history, they have had 14 games where they struck out at least 18 batters. And in none of the other 13 games had they ever gone 18 strikeouts or more without a walk. So this is history that you saw last night, what Gage Wood and Gabe Gackle did to Creighton. Arkansas beats Creighton 8-3. They are headed to the Super Regional. It's either going to be Tennessee or Wake Forest. They play tonight. We know it'll be here in Fayetteville. I thought, and I've said this a couple of times this year, that when Arkansas is at its best, I think it's probably one of the two best teams in the country. LSU is the only other one that I would say is in that category. And I thought you saw it this weekend. It was, they played their best baseball. They fielded well. They pitched well. I thought they hit pretty well after Friday's game, and even, you know, at some points during Friday's game. And they just showed, like, the all-around completeness that I think makes them one of the favorites to win a national championship. I don't know that Vanderbilt or Texas was a favorite to win a national championship because they've got offensive limitations. But now they're out of the picture. Arkansas is the highest-seeded team remaining, and there are going to be a lot of eyeballs on them as they move forward.
Yeah, I said last night at the end of the game on the post-game, I thought it was the most complete weekend of baseball we've played in a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did everything. We didn't make an error all weekend. Pitchers were dominant. I loved how the hitters – I loved the approach of the hitters. You know, when they got balls over the plate, they did damage. When they didn't get anything, they took their walks. I thought it was just a complete weekend of baseball. To your point about the strikeouts, we were talking last night in the ninth inning. The first three-ball count of the night came in the ninth inning. There was only one three-ball count the whole game, and then Gackle ended up getting a strikeout. But that's incredible. You go a whole game, and you don't have a three-ball count on anybody, and you got 20 strikeouts.
And, you know, sometimes you get a lot of strikeouts, and the other team's not showing good plate discipline. Like, I was looking at some of these teams that they've gotten 18 strikeouts against in the past. UAPB, for instance, one year on a day when Arkansas beat them, like, 26-1. You know, those players weren't taking good at-bats throughout the course of the game. I didn't think Creighton was taking terrible at-bats. I just thought that Wood stuff and Gackle was so good that it was like, here it is, and, you know, we're going to challenge you and see if you can hit it, and they really didn't, with the exception of maybe a couple of times.
Yeah, I mean, they were just overpowered. And so, look, they've seen Velo, but I don't think they've seen Gage Wood, Gabe Gackle-type Velo. Their ball's different. It plays different.
Look, so talk about that, like the velocity with movement. Because there's a difference, right? There's straight velocity, and then there's velocity with movement, like what you see with Wood.
I mean, you look – okay, so Gage, his release point, he's releasing the ball about 5'5", anywhere 5'4 to 5'5 range. That's feet high. Mm-hmm. So he's releasing from a low angle. The ball's staying flat, so let's say it gets to the zone, and it's at a 3 feet, 3.5 feet top of the zone. That ball's almost straight. It has the appearance of a fastball that rises. So as a hitter, you anticipate the ball is going to come down into the zone. You anticipate it. So your whole life, everything these guys have faced their whole life has come down into the zone. You're taught to swing where the ball is going to be. You don't see it the last 15 feet anyway. You're hitting it based off of what your body or your brain tells you that ball's supposed to do. Gage's ball doesn't come down. Gackle's doesn't come down. It stays up. So you think you're on it, and you're 3 inches under it. It's crazy. I knew they would struggle with Gage's fastball if he had it on and he was located on top of the zone. Now, if he throws it down, they can catch up to it. But, you know, when you're at the top of the zone, it adds a couple miles an hour perceived velocity. And I just thought he was phenomenal last night. And when just when they started to cheat like they were going to catch up to it, he'd drop a breaking ball on them. And just, you know, it was impressive. Now, one more thing. The home run that North hit, he jumped the first pitch fastball. And it was the slowest fastball he threw all night. It was only 95. Mm-hmm. And you say, okay, 95, 97. There's a difference in 95 versus 97, 98. There's a huge difference in 2 miles an hour. The guy just cheated on the fastball, which the pitch before that, the guy almost struck out. I mean, it could have been, you know, it was a close pitch. It's just a 50-50 pitch. It's a little, probably not a strike, but it was close.
Yeah, Dave Van Horn said that he likes that umpire. Told him it was about a ball off the plate. Wood and Gackle, this is not the first time that we've seen this year where they've pitched in the same game and they've really held the other team down. Remember a couple of years ago when Brady Tigert was coming back from his and they would pair him with Will McIntyre, and it seemed like they found something that, you know, something about the way one pitched, the other one could work off of that. Do you think they've found something like that with these two?
I mean, apparently, you know, a lot of times you don't want to pitch two guys that have the same similar stuff. But if it's working, stay with it. I mean, if a team's having a hard time catching up to that or adjusting to whatever shape of pitch it is, stay with it until they figure it out. You know, typically you'd like to go, you know, high spin, high carry fastball, high velo, to something a little different, a different look. Come in and bring like a, you know, whether it be Jimenez or someone that throws a two-seam fastball down at the bottom of the zone and kind of change their whole attack angle. But, you know, if it's working, stay with it.
So Arkansas is moving on. Their final scores this weekend, 6-2, 12-1, and 8-3. Well, I'll get to this here in a minute. Dave Van Horn talked after the game last night about playing Creighton and the challenge they presented, and this is what he had to say.
You know, he's going to retire, but got everything that I thought we were going to get from Creighton, and that was a big-time effort and guys that compete. I think we just played extremely well the last 2 days, and today we just came out and, you know, we got to sit around while they played, and to me our pitchers were amazing, and I think, you know, obviously Creighton was a little tired, and, you know, we didn't walk anybody. I think we struck out 20. And we hit 3 or 4 home runs. It was just it was a great game to watch if you're a Razorback fan, I would think, and just really proud of the team.
It felt like Arkansas couldn't have asked for a better game to precede the championship last night, because Creighton got up 10-3 on North Dakota State, and then North Dakota State ends up battling back, tying it in the 8th, 10-10, and Creighton walks them off 11-10. But they made them use some pitching. And yesterday, it wasn't – like excessively hot, but it was really humid, and I felt like it probably took a lot out of those Creighton players being out there in the sun, no shade, middle of the day, and then they've got to turn around and they got to play a couple of hours later.
Yeah, I was glad North Dakota State came back and made it close. That way they had to use a couple of their dudes. You know, Langham, they could have saved him. Had he been fresh, he might have been a little bit better. He didn't have his best stuff against us. I mean, the guy looks like he could be really good, really tough on righties. So I thought the fact that they battled back was huge. But I don't know, Matt. I don't know if the heat, when you get on a stage like that and you're in a regional, I don't know if the heat – I don't know if that affects them or not. I mean, because I didn't get tired. If I'm playing a game like that, you don't – tired is the last thing you think about. But I think the fact that, you know, they had to use pitching, I think that was definitely a factor.
They looked tired to me. And Ed Service even said after the game, he said they were exhausted.
Yeah. I mean, when you're seeing 98 at the top of the zone, you're going to look tired.
Well, Creighton, Ed Service, it was a nice moment after the game last night, him and Dave Van Horn talking. Service, before he was the head coach of Creighton, he was an assistant there. And so I think I know they knew each other from whenever Van Horn was at Nebraska. There was a nice clip that was posted, I think, by the Razorbacks baseball social media. They got the camera capturing what they were telling each other there.
Yeah.
That was a neat little moment. But you could tell throughout the weekend there was a lot of respect between those two coaches.
So you hate it when you lose a guy like Ed Service because he does things the right way. He coaches baseball the right way. His teams play the right way. And I'm sorry, there's not a lot of teams. You know, I'm so thankful that we have Dave Van Horn as a coach because you know what we're going to get out of our players. We're gonna play the game a certain way every day. We're not going to show up to opponent. We're going to have fun. You know, we're going to celebrate. We're going to do it right. That's how Ed Service coaches his team. Creighton's always been a team that's done everything right. I've always kind of admired him from afar. And I just I like the way that, you know, I watch him take – you can tell a lot about a team. You watch him take infield. You can tell a lot about a team. And they do the little things right. And honestly, I was impressed with North Dakota State, watching them take infield, just fielding ground balls. Their shortstop, really impressed with their shortstop, the way he moves, the way he fields the ball. Just little things like that mean a lot to me. But a coach like Ed Service, you hate losing guys like that to the game because – if we lose too many of those good guys, mm-hmm. I don't want college baseball to go the direction that Major League Baseball is going in some instances. And so hopefully they'll find a good guy to replace.
Well, they got Mark Kingston.
Yeah, they're going to have
Kingston. And I always liked Mark Kingston when he was at South Carolina.
Yeah, so I think that'll be a good – that's a good replacement for him. So hopefully he'll keep what they're going. Yeah. They have going on.
Yeah, I think he probably will. Kingston was a good coach at South Carolina. That's just That's a different place to kind of to try to win, especially whenever you've got the legend sitting in the AD chair hovering over everything that you're doing.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Yeah, I think so. We'll leave that there. Going back to Gackle, I thought this was probably the best that he's looked this year. I think about the A&M performance, he looked pretty good. I thought he looked really good at Vanderbilt, ended up going, I think, into the sixth inning over there. But there was something, and it probably may have been the fact that he hadn't pitched a whole lot and pitched a little bit against Ole Miss at the tournament in Hoover, but he just hadn't pitched a whole lot lately, and his arm looked really fresh.
Well, I made a comment around the eighth inning. His body language and his demeanor, his whole mound presence, I loved it. I mean,
it looked like Gabe Gackle from his freshman year.
You absolutely. Like, he was just, you look at his face, he was so calm but intense. And just, I mean, he just went out and attacked the zone. And it was good to see. And so did Gage. Gage always has that look, though.
Yeah.
But to see Gackle, I mean, that's the Gackle that we've been wanting to see, and so it was good to see. And you can see on the opposing pitchers the opposite. You could see they were frustrated. They were visibly frustrated, you know, Creighton's pitchers, because, you know, I don't want to say we scared them out of the zone, but, you know, they're nibbling around the corner of the plate. Mm-hmm. They're not getting calls off the edges, which, you know, I thought the guy, who was it, Jason Bradley? I can't remember who the last night's home plate
yes.
umpire was.
Yeah.
I thought he did a good job. I mean, he had a great zone, consistent. They didn't like some of the calls, and they thought they were getting strikes, and they weren't strikes. But you could see them, like if you really zoom in on them, you can see the frustration on their face, and you can see just a little bit of, you know, I don't know, not nervous, but just frustration.
I like Jason Bradley when he was punching out batters. Do you notice how different that was than a lot of umpires? You get the real quick twitch. His was just.
Yeah, just calm.
Looked like he was pulling a bow back almost.
I thought he did a good job, though. He had a good zone. I think Friday night's zone really played to us a lot. I thought it really did. You know, to the kind of pitchers that we had versus what they were throwing.
You're talking about Saturday night against Creighton.
Yeah, both nights. I thought it played really well to our strength.
Because Friday, it felt like they were thrown into a jelly bean for about the first 3 to 4 innings of the game.
Yeah, it was a little bit tight.
It expanded as the game went on. But
I thought that Saturday night. My days are still backwards.
I understand. I thought that Saturday night too, because Root got some calls the first inning. He's like, okay. This is the type of zone that he's going to want to be pitching into.
Yeah, well, Root was getting those calls at the top of the zone. Their guy Wilson Magers was trying to throw at the bottom of the zone, and he just wasn't getting those borderline pitches at the bottom. Mm-hmm. But the strike zone was more open at the top of the zone, so that played better to Zach throwing his fastball at the top of the zone. So I thought, but you know, that's something that your catcher can control, Matt. And I thought, you know, Ryder Helfrich's smart. If he sees that they're not getting pitches at the top of the zone, he'll adjust. And I thought he did a great job.
I thought the weekend could not have gone any better for Arkansas in terms of like if you go into a regional, and they do, they go into a regional and they kind of have it scripted out. You know, it's like, this is best case scenario.
Yeah.
It's best case scenario for them. I mean, they got to throw their ace in game two and they won the game. And then they win in such a manner because their offense performs so well that they're not having to use their top. I mean, think about who would have thought that this team could go through a regional and they didn't have to throw Cole Gibler. They didn't have to throw Christian Fouch. There were some other guys in the bullpen they didn't have to throw. I mean, it was like it looked a lot easier than I'm sure it really was.
Yeah, I think that's the only negative, though. We didn't throw Fouch. We didn't throw Dylan Carter. We didn't throw Will McIntyre, and we didn't throw Gibler. That's almost a – I mean, it's good that we didn't have to, but it's, you know, it's almost a negative because those guys didn't get that experience. You know, a guy like – you know, Dylan Carter's been there, so he's not going to be phased, but a guy like Cole Gibler hasn't thrown in that environment. So mm-hmm. It would have been good to get him an inning, but, you know, you can't – I mean, we weren't going to make a change, obviously.
Well, they had Fouch and Gibler up at the end. I don't think they were going to make a change. I think you're right. But it's just amazing. It's like, hey, you've struck out 20 times, and you got Cole Gibler, who may be the best swing and miss guy on the team, who still hasn't pitched in this game. Fouch can obviously blow it past you. Again, I just thought it was – with the way the last two regionals have gone here, and even in 22 over at Stillwater, 21 here against Nebraska, there just has not been a whole lot of low-stress regionals like I think they face this week. And a point I was going to make earlier is there's such a difference between, say, what happened with Arkansas, where it felt like they were in control the whole time. They got down one time in the first top of the first inning of the very first game, and they never trailed again. And then you maybe compare that with what happened at Vanderbilt, where Wright State's no hitting them in game one, and they have to come back and they win it. And then, you know, they're never in control against Louisville, and they're never in control in the elimination game against Vanderbilt. And all of those innings where it's stressful like that, they really start to – and we've seen that with Arkansas here the last couple of years.
Right.
It takes a toll on a team, and you start to press, and I don't know, it's just – I thought it was very interesting kind of tracking what was going on in Nashville this weekend versus what was going on in this one.
So, to your point there, I mean, it's – I thought the way they structured the pitching rotation was great. I thought Hobbs, DVH, when they put together the pitching, you know, I wasn't sure. I thought Vital Cheese would have been the guy that we were going to start on Friday night. Just because they had a lot of lefties. North Dakota State had a lot of lefties in the lineup. You know, but worked out great. I just think the way they structured the pitching all weekend, I don't think the staff gets enough credit sometimes for making the right decision.
For the foresight.
Yeah, for the foresight to look ahead and say, okay, this is how we want to structure this. And I think starting Jimenez, you know, he did have his best stuff. He got us through 3 2/3. I don't know. I just think the way they set the whole thing up, I think they're just – I don't know. I don't think they get enough credit for that because, to me, that makes a huge difference how you structure your staff. You make one wrong decision on Friday night of who's out there on the mound, it could affect you the rest of the weekend.
I don't think baseball coaches in general get enough credit for or maybe credit's not the right word. I don't know that people understand the amount of planning and contingency planning that goes into these weekends from especially from pitching coaches, but you know, I mean there's more than that that's involved in this. But I think people probably see it as, you know, you're in the game and it's just okay, you know, knee-jerk reaction, we're going to go get this guy. There's a lot of planning that goes in throughout the week of how you're going to approach this game and how you're going to approach things if you're up by two in this inning or if you're down by one in this inning. Or I mean, it's kind of amazing how many different, you know, scenarios they play out in their head before this thing gets going.
Yeah, I agree. And back to your point about the high stress. I'm sorry, this is what I meant to say a minute ago. 30-game SEC schedule, there's a lot of high stress. So I think all those high-stress innings prepared the team for this weekend, and they were able to go out and just play Razorback baseball. You know, the thing that really struck me was the pitching and the defense. The hitting, I expected us to score. I didn't know that we would score that much against Creighton. They've got a good staff. They got a really good staff. You go look at their numbers, they haven't given up a lot. They haven't given up. You look at some of these guys, Langham had given up, I think, two home runs all year. I don't know. We hit two or three off of him.
Three.
I don't know. I was really impressed. And the one of my favorite things about the weekend, Matt, was Saturday and Sunday, you know, the team hit inside the Fowler Center. Mm-hmm. You know, and I walked over there, and I'm watching them hit, and they're relaxed. They got the music blaring. You know, some guys are working in the cage, and then they do their rotation. They were relaxed, but like hyper focused. I mean, it was crazy. Like the, you know, when they step in the box in the Fowler Center and they're hitting. I mean, they got a plan. I mean, some of the swings were phenomenal in there, but they were relaxed. And I just thought it was – I think it's neat watching them in that setting when they're not out on the field with everyone watching them. They're inside the Fowler Center, and they're just getting their work in, taking their swings. Some, I mean, it's impressive. It's really impressive, some of the guys. Like, we talk about Vejiva Loy all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way he hits the ball, it just makes a different sound. I mean, I was around back in the day when A-Rod was playing, and when he took BP, the ball made a different sound off his bat. It makes a different sound. So a few of these guys, when they hit it, it makes a different sound, and Vejiva's one of them.
They were we are set up for regionals, super regionals, is that they've got a media center on one of the edges of the indoor track, and so the Fowler Center connects to that. And I thought it was striking on Saturday. They're out there doing their warmups on the like in the infield of the track.
Uh-huh.
They're getting ready with Hunter Bell, and you know they'd come off, and you could just kind of tell there was a looseness to them. And then yesterday they had been hitting, and they come walking through, and it was like one by one. It was not like a couple of guys were walking through. It's like, here comes Vejiva Loy by himself. Here comes Kahiwa Loy by himself. And I don't know. It just, in my mind at that point, I was thinking, God, these guys look really locked in right now. I mean, there's no wasted, you know, whatever with them.
Yeah. And I think they went out on a mission, not just this weekend, but you could really see it yesterday. And I thought, you know, watching the way Nate interacted with them, I thought was really, really cool during batting practice. You know, he does a couple little things with them that helps get their swing path right. I thought it was really neat watching them in an indoor setting get their work in. They're not just up there hacking. I mean, every swing, they're swinging with intent. And I thought, to me, that's awesome. I love doing the games. I love seeing the crowd. But seeing them behind the scenes like that's one of my favorite things still.
All right, we got a lot more to go. We'll talk about the all-regional team. We'll talk about what's going on across the SEC this week. Also, there's still some SEC games remaining tonight to see just how many of the conference is going to get into the super regionals. It's not a great postseason so far for the conference as a whole. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They're committed, professional, and versatile, and they've been serving their community since 1971. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can go by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. The season's winding down, but you can still get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com. Lots of baseball coverage at our website right now. Also, track and field. They're getting ready to go to Eugene. They just had their regional last week in College Station. Most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports, analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at wholehogsports.com. Arkansas is the highest remaining seed left in the NCAA tournament. Vanderbilt lost to Wright State yesterday. They are the first number one overall seed that did not make it to their regional championship game. Three other number one seeds, including Vanderbilt, when they had David Price, had lost in a regional, but they're the first ones that didn't make it to their regional title game.
It's crazy, and that just goes to show you there's good baseball players everywhere. I mean, it doesn't matter who you're playing. I was watching Texas play, and I mean, what was the team that beat them?
The Roadrunners.
Yeah. BB. Yeah. Go ahead and say it.
I said BB. Sorry. I didn't know I was going to throw you off.
No, something. They had a dude that closed out the game the night before last. I mean, I don't know how many. He was a reliever. He threw 50, 60 pitches. And the dude was really good. I mean, just working, you know, fastballs in the top of the zone. And, you know, I said I didn't think Texas would get out of that regional. I don't think. Now, they've got good pitching, but you take Volantis out of there, and they got a starter that's pretty good. I mean, they're okay on the mound, but they just don't hit well.
That's the same thing with Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Vandy had gotten better offensively as the season went on, but – there's a columnist in Nashville, and his name escapes me right now, but he said something after their loss to Louisville. He said the first 2 days of this regional have reminded us that team is still in there.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately it came out at the worst time of the year for him.
Yeah, I mean, look at – you get to a regional, Matt. Yeah, you know, everyone talks pitching, defense. Yeah, it's important. But sometimes you got to hit your way through a regional.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why –
Especially when you fall in the loser's bracket.
Oh, yeah. You got to. I mean, you got to score.
Like what Ole Miss did mm-hmm. yesterday.
Yeah, you got to score. And I think that's why I love this team so much. And I think the pitchers realize they don't have to be perfect. Last year, Hagen Smith, every time he took the mound, he felt like he had to be perfect. Mm. These guys don't feel that way. They know that their offense at some point, it might be the first inning, it might be the fifth, it might be the eighth, they're gonna get you. It's just a matter of time, but at some point, this offense is going to get you.
Five regional hosts have been eliminated so far. Texas and Vanderbilt, obviously. Oregon is gone. They went 0-2. Clemson is gone. Georgia is gone. Boy, did you see how the Georgia-Oklahoma State game went yesterday?
I was watching the scores.
It was Oklahoma State hit two home runs against them. It was interesting, the Georgia and the Vanderbilt games, you just think about how one play leads to another. Vanderbilt, yeah. It looks like they've tied the game on a double into the right center field gap, but it hops the wall, and so the runner at first has to go back to third base, and they pop out in the next at bat, and they lose. Georgia, it looks like they've turned a game-ending double play, but they can't turn it, and next at bat, guy goes oppo over that 350-foot wall in left field, and Oklahoma State walks him off and beats him. It's just, boy, both of those. It was amazing to me how both of those little things in the moment made such a huge difference to the outcome of the game.
Yeah, well, look at our game yesterday. Look at, you know, when the game kind of changed. Look at the line drive Robinette hit to the second baseman.
Off the glove.
Iredale's stealing. That's an mm-hmm. easy double play. I honestly think that he hit that ball so hard, it knocked the second baseman's glove back. It was hit 108 off the mm-hmm. bat. And, I mean, that's really not a hard play for a second baseman. If he catches that, he flips it to first, double play. Well, what happened next? Boom, a three-run homer. So, I mean, little things make a big difference, just one play. And so, yeah, it's crazy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what level of baseball you're talking about. I mean, it's so crucial, the importance of every pitch.
I mentioned those teams that had lost. You got Ole Miss, Oregon State, and Southern Miss. They're all playing in regional title games today, trying to work their way back from losing game one to the fourth seed at their regional. Tennessee lost to Wake last night, obviously. Little Rock, how about Chris Curry's team beating Love LSU? It. And not only beating them, I mean, they thoroughly beat them last night. They were empty in the box in like the eighth inning.
Yeah,
really impressive. So they'll play LSU for a regional championship tonight. I don't care what happens in that game. That has been an awesome weekend for Little Rock and Chris's team. They beat every team at that regional. They beat Dallas Baptist. They beat Rhode Island, and they beat LSU. You got a thought on this?
Yeah, no, I'm super happy for him. You know, I've loved Chris Curry from the start. I love his interviews. I love his post-game interviews. You can tell he's kind of a student of DVH. There's a lot of similarities in the way he always gives credit to the other team. He doesn't take any of the credit, gives it all to the team and his staff. And, man, I love that guy. And I love the team. I love the way they're tough. And look, North Dakota State was a tough team. I thought they battled. They were scrappy. And I see the same thing in Little Rock. And I think Curry's done a great job. You know, I've got one of my former players that pitches for him, Jackson Wells. Mm-hmm. You know,
I don't know. To get recycled tonight.
I know. I don't know how many pitches. I'd like to go back. I need to look and see how many pitches he threw on Friday. I know he did well, 5 innings, I think 3 runs. And I promise you, Jackson has already gone to. He's probably wearing Chris Curry out right now, wanting the ball because that's just the kind of guy he is. So, I will.
103.
Ooh, boy, I don't know. He's going to want the ball, though. He would have probably pitched last night.
Think about the North Dakota State pitcher. What did he throw, 119, and then he turned around and threw 57 then 3 days later?
Yeah, Jackson Wells is different. He's a high intensity. Okay. Jackson Wells pitches a lot. Like, if you watch Gage Wood, the intensity of Gage Wood, that's what you get out of Jackson Wells. I mean, he's intent. He is locked in, and he's a bulldog, and he will come get you.
I don't think it's going to work out this way, but how interesting would it be if all the talk is about the Van Horn coaching tree this year, Wes Johnson and Tony Vitello, and Chris Curry was the coach who made it through to a super regional? Wouldn't that be something?
I'd love it. And do you care? I mean, I know we haven't talked about that yet. Do you care who we play? I mean, do you have a preference?
I don't. I mean, I don't have a preference. I look at it through the lens of what would it look like for the team. I think it's a lot easier to play a team the first time than it is to play them a second time.
Yeah,
and I don't know how much motivation plays into it, but you know Tennessee's players would be motivated. You know, whether it be the Will McIntyre clip that's gotten replayed a million times, or Jimmy Sanchez blaring Rocky Top as they're huddling in the outfield, or just the fact that they lost the series in the first place, a real competitive series. Also, I will say this. I like the novelty of the NCAA tournament where you see matchups that you don't see a whole lot. And Arkansas's never played Wake Forest. And there's a lot of neat storylines there, too, with Matt Hobbs, and their head coach. And Bob Holt always said we root for a good story. So I think you could find a couple of good stories with either of those teams that come in.
Yeah, you're right. Either way, I like good baseball. You know, I'm not an Ole Miss fan. I hate Ole Miss. But when we play them, it's good baseball. It's you see good players. They do a lot of stuff
You've softened on Ole Miss. You become a big teddy bear when it comes to Bianco's team.
I think teddy bear's pushing it. But, yeah, I have softened a little bit. And I think the reason I've softened is because of Vandy has – Vandy's kind of taking the crown of Bush League.
Okay, let's talk about coaches and their actions this weekend. Did you see Tim Corbin's press conference after the Game 2 loss against Louisville?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, it was – I mean, he dropped about 3 naughty words. And
what did he say?
He said – and this is a quote, so we can say it. He said, "I don't give a rat's ass about Game 2," whenever he was asked about how their pitching plans would work out if they had to play a Game 2. He said, "We've only got to get through Game 1." And he was feisty after they lost to Louisville. And he always is. I mean, he might be the worst loser in America. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing in terms of that's what you want from your coach.
Yeah.
You want them to hate losing so much that they don't ever want to do it. But at the same time, there's a decorum, I think, that lacks sometimes in his dealings with media.
Well, if you don't want to lose, don't do all that crap between innings.
And you think if they wouldn't have done the calisthenics between innings, they might have won?
No, I just think it's a distraction. I think it's an absolute distraction. It's a show of me. Watch me go do my stuff between innings. And it has nothing to do with the game. It's all about me, and I hate that. And look, I'm a Tony Vitella fan. I love talking to him about baseball, but they do stuff that just drives me crazy. I think if you let it, it can affect you as an opponent. I don't think it affects us. I think they know what they're going to get out of it. Did you see O'Sullivan go off?
That was the other one I was going to ask you.
Yeah,
about.
You sent me the clip, and then someone else sent me the clip of the coach of the other team getting in and pretty good, saying, "Hey, you know," because he was looking out for his AD and or associate AD and grounds crew guy. I thought it was cool how he defended them, but yeah, O'Sullivan went off. Now, I don't know the whole story there. I think he was frustrated that they pushed the game time back.
You can be frustrated and still. I mean, and we both been. I mean, you cuss me out all the time backstage. But you know, I mean, like we're all guilty. Everybody is guilty of letting their emotions go and saying something that they regret later on. And I always remind myself of this whenever I'm the guilty party, is that you can handle things a lot better than whatever the way he handled it. Like I said, I don't know what went on, but I know what I heard. And I know what I saw, and it didn't look or sound good at all.
So look, I've mellowed out a ton, and
as evidenced by your Ole Miss softness.
Yeah, well, still it's not softness, Matt. It's more understanding. They do play hard. I'll give them that. I love teams that play hard. They play hard. But there's certain things that trigger you, and I'll tell you as a coach, like there's certain things another coach can say to me, or maybe a fan sitting in the stands, that triggers me, and I'm going to take care of it. I'm not going to yell across the field. I'm going to go over to them and talk really quietly until quiet doesn't work, and then I'm going to fix the problem. So I don't know what was said back to O'Sullivan, but something triggered him. Mm-hmm. Something he didn't like, one of the answers.
Apparently
he got.
It was about their game time getting pushed back an hour.
Yeah. So, but it started out very cordial, it looked like, and then all of a sudden, cordial went out the door, and it was all out. So, but you know, I do appreciate the fact that he's fighting for his team. He's, you know, he felt like he was done wrong, and I'm an O'Sullivan fan. I've always been. I like the guy. Now, maybe he was wrong there. I don't know. I don't know what was said on the other end of the conversation. I could only hear his end.
Finishing our look around the SEC here real quick. Ole Miss plays Murray State today for the regional championship. Obviously, we know Tennessee and Wake are playing for a regional title. Auburn advanced. They went 3-0 with their regional. And Oklahoma, they're going to play North Carolina for a regional title. They took them to the decisive game, fighting their way onto the loser's bracket. So the SEC, two teams in, they've got the potential for, four more teams? So that would be they've got the potential for at least six teams in the Super Regional. I sat here last week and said it wouldn't surprise me if half of the Super Regional was the SEC. You know, I don't think all four of these teams are going to win tonight. I think Oklahoma, it doesn't set up real great for them. Wouldn't be surprised if Ole Miss, LSU, and Tennessee won. So if they get five of the 16 teams in the Super Regional, you think that's a success when you've got 13 teams in the field?
No, I don't think it is. I'm surprised that a few of the teams that lost. So I don't think it is a success. I think everyone around the country is excited about it because, you know, they feel like SEC gets all the attention. It is the best baseball in the country by far. What do you think about the West Coast teams? You think they feel a little bit slighted? I asked Phil this last night on the broadcast. No one talks about West Coast baseball on at least this side of the country. I don't know what they say out there, but I mean, you don't hear anyone talk. No one talks about them.
I think it's why a lot of their players end up here in the South.
Yeah, I think so.
That's why you got Ryder Helfrich catching Gabe Gackle in a regional championship
You're
game.
Absolutely right. Which is awesome, by the way. That you know, I mean, what's the odds?
Haven't those two been playing together since they were like in eighth grade?
Yeah, eighth grade. I think caught him in eighth grade. He was wild back then. But, you know, I got a chance last night to talk to a few of the Hawaii kids that came over. And who knows? We might be looking at the next Hawaiian shortstop right there. A couple of kids look pretty athletic.
If there's ever a good player that comes out of Hawaii in the next 10 years, there's a good chance they're going to come to Arkansas, I feel like. The way that this fan base and program has embraced – I said this the other day. It's like island time has come to central time. you know, it's like you're at the game and they're playing Hawaiian music in between innings and – You know, half the people are wearing the floral, you know, Hawaiian shirts. Like a third of them are wearing Lays. You got people holding up inflatable palm trees, and the It's just I think it's really cool how the Aloy brothers and Nolan Souza, and you got to give Rick Nomura a little bit of credit for this too, but especially this group of three who's in here right now, how they've just they've brought a unique something to the ballpark.
Yeah, I think I've never seen so many Hawaiian shirts in my life. And you know, it's funny.
Everybody was wearing them last night. My old boss was wearing one.
Was he?
Yeah, I saw him in the. I saw him in, and he had on like a little nice little floral Razorback shirt.
So last night I get to the ballpark. Came straight. We had two games. My son's team was playing. Came straight from the ballpark here. So I'm kind of rushing around. I get there. I open up my bag and I'm pulling my stuff out. And I've got Lays all in my bag. So everything I pulled out, my scorebook's got Lays attached to it. So, but it's funny when you look out there and you see all these Hawaiian shirts. I did get to meet the Mr. Aloy last night.
Oh, yeah?
He owned Vahiva's dad. First time I got to meet him, my wife was talking to him and brought me over, and it was cool talking to him. And he looks like he could still play.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like he could get out there and hit some freaking bombs right now.
You know, he's got to be a pretty good coach too to have two kids that are, you know, at the level that his are.
Yeah, you know, I said something to him last night about, you know, having kids that are that good but also that humble. I mean, I love those two guys. I mean, I do. They're just great. They're great people. But you know what? I talked to a few of the parents last night, and I told them, I said, hey, you know what? I'd love to talk to all the parents and just say thank you for having such good kids, because good baseball players are everywhere. But baseball players that are good people on top, I see the baseball side's easy, Matt. I think being a good teammate and a good person, that's harder sometimes, especially when you're at this level with all the attention you get. But these guys stay super humble, and I think it's a testament to the parents.
On Arkansas' side of the bracket, and this would be the quad that would play each other at the World Series, you've got one matchup that's set up in the Super Regional. It's Texas-San Antonio is going to go to UCLA to play a Super Regional. You could have Murray State at Duke, or you could have Duke at Ole Miss, depending on how things go tonight. I told you Duke was going to beat Georgia, by the way.
Yeah, you did.
West Virginia, they will either be hosting Little Rock or going to Baton Rouge, and then obviously we're waiting on what happens in Knoxville with Wake Forest and Tennessee. Whoever wins that is going to come here to bomb. Arkansas won their 35th home game last night. That is a school record, and they could potentially get two more.
Love it. So I think we've had teams in the past that didn't play well at home. This team plays well at home. They feed off the crowd.
And it's not just that they win. It's they play their best baseball. They hit better here. They pitch better here. They really field well here on this field. And we were talking about this a couple of 3 days ago. You look at their win margins here, and I mean, they've been beating really good teams by a lot of runs, you know, here this year. Think about what they did to Texas, 19, you know, plus 19 margin. I think Tennessee was like, what was that, plus three, plus six? I can't remember, you know, but they lost by three, they won by four, they won by two. So I guess that's plus three. You know, Little Rock, you know, that was a real, you know, wide open weekend. Missouri, I mean, Missouri didn't get beat by 42 everywhere they went this year. Yeah. Not even close. I mean, right. They actually had a couple of series where they played teams competitively on the road, and that's not even counting, you know, what happened at A&M. So, I don't know. There's something about this ballpark that just brings the best out of Arkansas. That's why I said at the outset of the tournament that I'm not going to bet against them getting to Omaha whenever they get to play all their games here.
Well, I think a lot of things go into that. The pitchers love the mound. Like, if you talk to pitchers, there's certain mounds they like pitching. Even major league guys, there's certain mounds they love throwing off of. Just the way the mound feels, the backstop, you know. I think the guys love pitching off of this mound. I think the hitters love our batter's box. I think the fielders love the dirt. I did a special with Steve Sullivan the other night, and Sully had the grounds crew guy on. One of the segments was the grounds crew guy, and he talked about, you know, the dirt. It's all about the dirt or something. I can't remember his quote, but it was awesome. And it's about having consistency in the dirt. If your infielders know, like, you know, I came up with Jeter, and you know, I've listened to Cal Ripken talk, watched him take ground balls. They want their dirt a certain way. Some guys like it a little softer, some like it a little harder. But if you're super consistent with the dirt and the way the ball plays, it makes it really easy on your defense. I think it goes back to Hoover, Vahava. That ball came up on him. He makes that play at ball marker because it doesn't come up on him like that. I just think I think that's – talk about things that go underappreciated. I mean, that's – to me, that's huge right there, knowing what your dirt's going to feel like every day.
Hey, on the other side of the bracket, Louisville's through. They won in Nashville. They're waiting the winner of Southern Miss and Miami today. Florida State's through, awaiting the winner of Oregon State and Southern Cal. Arizona's awaiting the winner of UNC and OU. And then another super regional matchup that has been set, Coastal Carolina is going to go to Auburn. Auburn's the second highest seeded team remaining in this tournament. I think if you would have asked me a month ago, like, would Auburn be the second best team, you know, on paper? And I don't know that they are the second best team, but on paper, they're the second best team left in the tournament. I thought they were playing well, but I don't think I thought that would have happened. But then, Bubba, it just goes back to this season has been so unpredictable mm-hmm. in college baseball, and it's been so hard to find a front runner that I don't know that I'm really surprised by what happened over the weekend.
Yeah, I can't remember which coach it was. I want to say it was DVH said something to me early on about Auburn. Maybe it wasn't. I'm sorry if I'm wrong. It may not have been DVH. One of the coaches, you know, we were talking about teams, and they liked Auburn a lot. And you see, they've just quietly won games throughout the year.
They saw something that nobody else saw because Auburn was picked to go 14 out of 16 SEC teams.
Yeah.
I think Ole Miss was 15th out of 16. Isn't that amazing?
That is crazy.
I mean, Missouri was 16 out of 16.
Well, I mean, look how wrong – that's why I just laugh at preseason polls.
Yeah.
I mean, look at who was preseason number one, number two. I mean, think about the teams that
were. A&M was number one. Virginia was not number two, but I think they were like top three or four.
Oh, I thought they were number two. Florida was. Where was Florida at?
I think they were top 10. They might have been number 10 in the preseason poll.
Okay. I thought they were higher than that. But anyway, I mean, you just look at the preseason polls, don't mean. I don't know if there should even be a preseason poll.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I'm there with you. Preseason polls are for ratings.
Yeah.
They really are.
You're right.
They're ratings and clicks. It's to get people to, you know, and just to, like, generate conversation, I think,
you're
more
right.
than else.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But like preseason football polls, it's all about getting people to turn it. Because, you know, I don't know that anybody's going to tune in if this, you know, this ACC Big 12 matchup doesn't have a couple of numbers in front of them. But you put a 12 and a 22, it's like, oh. I gotta watch this.
You know what? You're so right. When I'm scrolling through looking for something to watch, football game, if I see numbers in front, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
If it not, does something I'll be in like, our mind. Oh, nah, let's find another game.
There's something psychological about it. What it does that.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to get to this soundbite. This is what Dave Van Horn had to say last night. I asked him, when you see what's happened around the rest of the country, how fortunate do you feel? That you got through in three games, and this is what he had to say.
I feel great about it. I feel very fortunate. You know, it's not easy. I mean, we've sat here 2 years in a row, and we didn't get out of here. We went and won somebody else's regional in 22. In 21, we won a regional and got beat in the last game by a run to go to Omaha. I mean, I've kind of been on all sides of it, and you never take it for granted at all. You just, it's like I told the guys, you know, when we left Hoover, you have got to go earn it. Nobody's going to give you anything. You look at who's winning around the country, you know, you start thinking you're all that. You'll get it handed to you. And, you know, these guys, they stayed humble and they got after it. And, you know, we get to hang out again together for at least another week.
The lineup is a lot different than certainly what was here in 23, but even, you know, for the most part, what was here last year. But I think for the players who experienced one or both of those outcomes, it makes this weekend a lot sweeter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you go back to – even if you go back to Friday's game, I mean a couple of swings here and there could have really changed that game. I mean, You know, Kozio comes up huge for us, 3-for-4 with 4 RBIs. You know, you take those 4 RBIs away and, mm-hmm. you know, we're looking at a different game. I mean, there's just the – I still say the margin for error is so slight, but I think our pitching was so dominant that, I mean, that carried us through the weekend and our bats went to work.
Did you get an all-regional team ballot?
You know, I did, and I didn't fill it out. And the reason I didn't fill it out is because we had a tournament this weekend, so it wasn't fair for me to vote on people that I didn't see. Now, I did see some guys. I love the shortstop, North Dakota State. I love Koenig, the guy they brought in to pitch 3 innings against us, 1 hit. I thought that dude had really good stuff, mid-90s, good changeup, good slider, cutter thing he threw. I saw some good players. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't fair for me to vote not seeing them enough, so I did not vote.
My ballot looked like an Arkansas lineup card. It was like catcher, writer, second base. And, I mean, even – actually, and here's one thing I didn't like is that they passed out – and I understand why they did it. But they passed out the ballots like middle of the game last night.
Yeah.
And then they took them up, I think, in the 7th inning upstairs. And I sit out – I choose to sit outside during the regionals – because I love the view from being down low on the concourse and being out in the middle of everybody. And quite frankly, there's just really good circulation out there that you don't always get in a press box. And so they took us up, or they took ours up after the 8th inning. And right before they took mine out, I scratched out a reliever and I put Gabe Gackel. But I think a lot of people didn't get a chance to put him on there because of whenever they took up the ballots. And so that was the omission, because they had 2 spots for relief pitchers. They had 2 spots for starting pitchers. Here's what the all-region team looked like. Ryder Helfrich was the catcher. He was also the MVP of the tournament. No complaints there, right?
Oh, no, absolutely. That would have been
I felt like it was either him or Kozel. And I felt like Helfrich – the thing that set Helfrich apart to me was not only what he did offensively, but you got a pitching staff that only gave up 6 runs.
Yes, what he did.
And he's calling the pitches.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good. First base, Will McLean of Creighton. I put Robinette on there. Robinette, I don't know how many hits he had, but he had 6 walks. And mm-hmm. sometimes I feel like the walks just get overlooked.
Yeah.
Like there's it's not just the pitcher missing the strike zone. There's a lot of skill and patience from the hitter that has a tendency to get undervalued whenever he's taking a lot of walks. So I had Robinette there. Second base, Cam Kozel. Shortstop, Vahiva Aloy. Third base, Davis Hamilton of North Dakota State. He was mine too. Nolan Sailors, who robbed Kozel of a home run last night, he got on there as an outfielder. Logan Maxwell got on there as an outfielder. Had a great play defensively in game 2. Sam Canton from North Dakota State on there as an outfielder. I didn't have Sailors. I put Charles Davlin. I liked what he did during the series. Dakota Duffalo, the DH from Creighton, he had my pick. Root and Wood were the starting pitchers. Coyle was one of the relievers. All of that dovetails with what I put on there. And then reliever Ian Kuzman from Creighton. I actually had a different reliever on there, and I scratched that out and put Gabe Gackel right before I handed it off.
I like the Parker Coyle. I was glad to see Parker Coyle because he's worked so hard to come back from injury, and he's been so huge for us when he's been healthy. So I was glad to see him. You know, Kozel, obviously, Vahiva, I mean, you know, Davlin. I would love to have seen Davlin make it. Look, if I would have – I'm a homer. I love these guys. I didn't want to just ride a Razorback in every column. It's not fair to the rest.
I didn't want to, but the results were telling me, hey, you got to go with this guy. You got to go with this guy.
Well, I think you were spot on.
I think I had 3 non-Razorbacks.
Well, I think you're spot on. And, you know, maybe the other people voted, you know, all Creighton players. Who knows? But, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to cheat a good player on another team.
Fair.
I really don't, because I love good baseball. Now, at the same time, I'm a Razorback fan. I would have loved to have written every guy's name down in there, but I'm not going to do that.
We don't know when the Super Regional is going to begin yet. It's either going to be Friday or Saturday. The way that this works is that Friday, there's 8 Supers. 4 start on Friday, 4 start on Saturday. We should know either really late tonight or really early tomorrow morning if Arkansas, Tennessee is going to start on Friday. Or if it's going to start on Saturday, do you think there's a preference?
I mean, I'd rather start on Friday and not have to sit and wait. Mm. Let's play. I mean, especially in case you run into weather and you got all kinds of issues, mm-hmm. let's play it Friday.
Does it help that you get, whenever there's so many days in between, does it help that, you know, you might be playing a Tennessee or a Wake Forest team, or you will be playing one of them that's playing on Monday and you don't have to play that day? Does that extra day even come into factor if it starts on Friday?
Yeah, I think so. I think for these guys that are playing tonight at 5 o'clock, you know, especially if they have to use a lot of pitching.
Well, they have to travel.
I mean, so you think about it.
Wake may have to travel twice because they'd have to go home and then and come back over here.
I mean, that's a big difference. The travel, the baseball didn't make me tired. The travel made me tired back in the day. And I don't know. I know travel's changed. These guys, they travel a little better than we did back in the day. But the travel is what always got me tired. The baseball, I can play baseball all day and I don't get tired. But the travel part of it, yeah, it can drain you.
And the way this works is that if you start on Friday, everybody on your side of the bracket starts on Friday. That way everybody is on similar rest, on a similar schedule for whenever they get to Omaha the following week.
Who makes that decision?
I have no clue. Come you may on. Find out today. You may get his
you
number.
Know everything. I'm just curious.
Somebody at the NCAA office.
Yeah, I'm just curious who makes that decision. And does Tennessee have a voice in it? Can they say, oh, well, we're playing
I don't think
Monday?
Do. I don't think they do. I think that if there was a situation where today it lined up like maybe three of the super regionals were already set on one side and maybe there was only one on the other side, then that might help make that decision.
Yeah,
because you'd have more teams that have gotten more rest. But, I mean, like I said earlier, there's only two super regionals that are set, and it's one on each side of the bracket. So I don't know what goes into making this decision. I really do not. It's one of the mysteries of the universe.
You know, I think that's the first time. What's the date today? June 2nd. That's the first time you haven't known a question that I've asked.
Give me till the end of the day.
Oh, it's too late now.
Give me till the end of the
day. I needed to know right now.
Like, give me a 12-hour extension. I may be able to get you the answer today.
Okay, I appreciate it.
I will contact the NCAA office and find out. Bubba, appreciate you being here. We appreciate all of you being here, too. Hope that you'll come to our website, wholehogsports.com. Throughout the week, we're going to have a ton of baseball coverage, obviously, leading up to the Super Regional against either Tennessee or Wake Forest. We'll be back with a podcast tomorrow. By then, we will know what day the Super Regional begins. We'll know who the Razorbacks are playing, too. So we hope to see you there. Have a great day, everybody.